If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me and read, turn to John chapter 14, and we'll read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You may have never heard a salvation message preached from all six verses of this. You probably went all the way down to the sixth verse to do that. But I'm going to cover it from verse 1 because I think it's necessary to do that. To get the whole story here, because the Lord is talking about something that's very important to all of us, and that is death. I know that's a terrible subject to bring up on a beautiful day like this, and but death is a sure thing, folks. And if we're going to be ready to go, we got to know about it. It's going to happen. When you go to a funeral, this is probably the scripture that you may hear at a funeral. And that is John chapter 14. But we're going to see what the Lord has to say about a place that he wants us to make sure that we go to. Let's read it together. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas cuts in on him here. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus had an answer for him, and this is the answer that we've known all of our lives. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and ask the Lord to bless this message today, and that if there's anyone in this building today who might walk out unprepared to meet God, please listen to the Holy Spirit today. Let him touch your heart. Let him convince you of where you are and where he wants you to be. And give your life to the Lord today. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the truth of this message. We praise you, Lord, for everything that you have done. And we praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Now, Lord, if there's a heart here today that needs to be touched by the power of your sweet spirit, I pray, oh God, that today will be that day. We're going to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thomas evidently wasn't listening very well, as I have had those moments in my life when I didn't listen very well. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they've been talking for at least a minute or two, and your mind was so somewhere else that you say, well, what did they just say? You know, that means, I saw you look at Chad. You know, you've had those moments. and I thought, I wasn't listening, you know. And that's terrible that somebody is talking and you're not listening. But that happens to all of us. Our minds kind of wander sometimes or get on other things. But Thomas wasn't listening very well. When the Lord was saying he was going to heaven, Thomas wasn't tuned in to him, you know. Thomas didn't know where he was or where he was going. I think his mind maybe might have been one of those minds that we've had at times, and he just simply wasn't there. Because he said, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? That was his question. Well, the Lord was explaining something to him so that he could learn more on down in his talk. And so he was explaining about a place that he could go if he were right with God. And that's what happens here in these verses. Because in verse 1 of this scripture that I read, he was telling him, now all of these things are things that we all want. These are things that we know we all need for our life down here on this earth. And so in verse 1, he was telling him where he could find true peace. Every one of us want to have a life of peace, right? Peace is important to us, and I'm not just talking about peaceful, like sitting down by the river, watching it flow by, and the flowers and the bees and the trees and the everything, you know, and you have this beautiful spot. No, I'm talking about a deeper peace than that. I like sitting by the river like everybody else, but I want a deeper peace than that. I want a peace that'll take me not just down to the river and back home, but one that'll take me on to glory land. And that's the peace that everybody needs inside of them, is to know that everything's okay with your soul and you're ready to go to heaven. So he's trying to tell them about that. In verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Excuse me. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, what was he saying? He says, I want you to have peace. I want you to have peace, and I don't want your heart troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? And they were at that time. That God is who they believed in. But you see, he was trying to get them to see that you need to believe in the Son of God. You need to believe in Jesus, the Savior of the world. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. If you're going to have peace with God, you've got to believe in his Son for the salvation of your soul. Or otherwise, there'll be no peace. You may live a long life. You may live a good life as far as what you have down here and the things that can give you comfort in living this life, but you won't have peace. You won't have the deep, settled peace. So he's saying, I don't want your heart to be troubled. I want you to know where you're going when you leave this old life down here. So he's telling them, have that. And the way you get it, you believe or you trust. Another word for believe is just simply trust. And if you're trusting in the right place, your heart won't be troubled, I can assure you. Just believe God and believe that his Son, Jesus Christ, is your Savior. Then he went on to verse 2. He said, now I'm going to tell you about a real place. Probably everyone in here who has lived any years at all knows that a lot of times we talk about the old home place. Any of y'all know about the old home place? Well, there were so many old home places for my family, we couldn't keep up with them. My dad and mom moved. I mean, they'd moved, buddy. We went to so many different schools. You know, I tell you, I went to every school except Reform School, and should have been, and probably should have been there. But we moved around. But I still remember the old home places. Even if we just lived a few years there, it was so special and so precious that I have memories. Tilson Mountain, we lived on Tilson Mountain. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? We lived on Banner Hill in Irwin. We lived on River Hill. We lived on Union Street. We lived in Lamar. We lived in Carter County. We lived in Johnson City. We moved around. We lived a lot of places. But every place we lived, I have good memories, great stories to tell about where we lived. But here he's saying, I'm not talking about a place that you can just talk about for a few minutes and have your good memories of those places. I'm talking about a real place. I'm talking about a place that's never going to grow old. I'm talking about a place where you won't be there temporary, you'll be there eternally. So he says in verse 2, in my Father's house. Now this is a real place. This is not a make-believe place with a white picket fence and cattle on the hill. Okay? This is a real place. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he went on to say, if it were not so, I mean, if this wasn't a real place, I wouldn't take the time to tell you. If it were not so, I would have told you that it's not so. He said, I go to prepare a place. Now, when he nailed it down and said, I go to prepare a place for you, you can rest assured that it is a real place where you can be in eternity, never to have to move. Never call a van anymore to come and move your stuff. You're not going anywhere. You're there forever. So he says, I've got a real place here for you in verse 2. It's my Father's house. How special is that? It's my Father's house. He's talking about death here, as I told you in the beginning. And to be honest with you, he's saying to you, everyone's going to die. And no one's coming back. Now, for you young people who are sitting here, it's okay. We have teenagers in here right now. Our little ones have gone to children's church. But You understand that this is not your permanent place here. You understand that this is a temporary place and everyone is going to die. It's okay for you to know that. We're not going to protect you against that. You need to know that. And that no one's coming back from that. Okay, once you have died and you've been buried in the cemetery, wherever you are, hopefully the Lord will come back and we can just get on out of here that way. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Save a little few heartaches from going to the old cemetery. I don't really like going there, but I know it's one of those necessary things. And if you know the Lord and you're close to Him, you'll have a good view of death anyway, so it won't make any difference. But if you're here lost today, I want you to know you are going to die and you're not coming back here. What he's saying here is there's something about death that we all experience. There's a stillness about death that just terrorizes folks. You know, there's no motion in death. There's no life there for us to relate to. It's such a still thing. It's silent. It's a silence that we don't want to hear. Amen? We know how that is, and we've been there, some of us, many times. And then when you get there, it seems like that where they are, it's such a long way away, you know. Wherever they are, there's a great distance there between us and them because it's such a silent, still matter that we just can't relate to that. But going to our Father's house or home, I like calling it home, don't you? I do. But it's my Father's house. He is my Father, and that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going because He made plans for me to have the peace that He prepared for me and the place that He prepared for me. He gave them all to me. But look at verse 3, because He said something in verse 3 that every one of us also need to know. In verse 3 He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you." Now, He wasn't saying, maybe I will, maybe I won't. He already said, I'm going to do it. I'm preparing a place for you. He was just saying, and since I am going to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again. I'm not just going away to build you a place in heaven and then leave you alone. He says, I'm coming back for you. Now, this verse has always touched my heart because of the way He put it. He said, I will come again, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to receive you unto myself. Now, that ought to make your heart swell a little bit, that He cares enough for you to go create that mansion for you in heaven, and then He's going to come back just for you. If there wasn't anybody else in here who's saved today, He would come back just for you. And when He comes back, He's going to receive you. That means He's going to hold you and hug you. He's going to receive you unto Himself. That where He is, there you can be also. For how long? Well, He's already told us how long heaven is. It's an eternal home. I'm coming to get you, and I'm going to take you back with me, and you're going to be mine. Now, what does this sound like to you? Sounds like a promise to me. Sounds like He is pledging to me His care and concern for my eternity, not just my temporary life, but for my eternity. He's pledging everything He's done for me, He's pledging it to me today. If I give my life to the Lord today, He's giving that to me. The Bible calls that the blessed hope, that He's coming back for us. The Bible says, when He said, I will come again, that is His return, folks. That is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He goes on in verse 4, and He begins to tell us about a road trip. You got to get from here to there, right? Since He's gone there and He's prepared this place for us to have this awesome peace, He's gone there and He's prepared this place for us and He's pledged everything to us, then He says, I want to tell you about a road trip. Now, this is the highway to home that He's revealing to us today. And in verse 4, you see, Thomas didn't have a road map. He had one, really, that the Lord tried to spell out for him, but I don't think Thomas could read a map. You know, sometimes we get good instructions, we just don't read them very well. I know y'all don't do that. I'm the only one who gets out the instructions, and I look over them, but I don't read them very well, and I don't understand them very well. And therefore, when I put things together, it doesn't go together very well. That's just the way it is. Well, here's old Thomas saying, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how are we going to know how to get there? You see, he had some information here, but he didn't read it very well. Oh, if he'd just lived in the day of GPS, boy, wouldn't he have had it made. Lord, just give me the address. But that wasn't the case here. Thomas was just an honest man. He was. And he asked an honest question. You know, the Lord don't mind you asking an honest question. Some folks get a little religious sometimes and think that if you question God some way that you're not showing any trust, and that's terrible to do that. But I got news for you. If you have a question for God and it's a honest question from your heart, God doesn't mind. Thomas had an honest question here when he said what he said. He didn't understand, and he was honest about it. I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about, where we're going and everything. So he was honest with God, and I'm so glad he was. Because the fact that he was honest with God and he asked the question that he asked, it gives us the time and the opportunity today to listen to the Lord's answer to his question. You ask an honest question, God's going to give you an honest answer. You'll get the whole answer. Nothing's going to be different. So let's thank Thomas for this question, because then we find out what God really wants for us. God's way to heaven is in the next verse 6, and that's where we're going to now. Now, there are three areas of verse 6 that I'm going to lay out for you, and it's going to be, if I had a street number and an actual address to give you, and you had your spiritual GPS turned on, you could get to heaven this way. So since you don't have that GPS that we're talking about, I'm going to give it straight to you from his word, and you're going to understand that when you leave here today, there is a way to get to heaven. But it's always God's way. It is never man's way. I feel sorry for Thomas that he didn't understand some of the things he understood, but you and I have been in the same place. I didn't have to understand everything about salvation to get saved. All I had to do was understand that I was lost. I was a sinner. I needed forgiveness for my sin of unbelief. Not all the things that I did, and not all the things that you did. The only sin that you need to ask the Lord forgiveness of, the other stuff takes care of itself. You need to ask him to forgive you of the sin of unbelief, that you have not believed in his precious son as your savior for your salvation. And when you do that, all the other things that we want to mention sometimes, because I assure you that if you've got a long list of what you call our sins, someone else has a longer list. And more than likely, you would find yourself on their longer list. Because you see, that's the way we are in our human thinking and ways. We make lists. God doesn't make lists. He doesn't. He's not going to. It's just sin is sin, and that's the way it is. But we're the people who make the list. But let's get into now the ways in which you can get to heaven. Question number one is in verse 6. And by the way, all these are in verse 6. If you were looking in verse 6 right now and you went to the very first part of it, I would say to you, you ask this question: how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Now, you don't want to go into the whole thing right now, because that's not where we're going with this. The simplest way to do anything is step one, step two, and step three. If you try to do them all three at the same time, you're going to get confused, and you may even back out of the steps. Are you with me? Because we're going to do it, and that's why the Lord put it in here like this. He's taking us to step one first of all. So if I were to ask you, how can I be saved? Jesus said this to answer that question: I am the way. Now, you can't confuse that. You can't go into naming a whole lot of stuff that you need to do. Oh, well, you need to come to church first. No, you don't. No, you don't. I love it that folks come to the church, and I love it that folks hear the gospel at church. I love it that folks hear songs that touch them. But you don't have to be there to get saved. A lot of you probably were saved some other place other than church. But I can assure you that most people get saved in church. That's why it's important. That's why the Lord instituted the church, so that we could come together and share the gospel and win the lost at any cost. So if you're lost today, you ask the question, how can I be saved? And the Lord says, well, I'm going to tell you how. I'm the way. So what does that mean to you? That means you got to come to Him. That's all. If He says, I am the way, then you come to where He is, because that is the way that you're going to be saved. What did He mean by that? Well, here's a good illustration. I've never, ever read this illustration before or given it before, but I've got to give it to you now. For some of you who have ever gone down on 107 to a corn maze, any of y'all ever been down there and got lost? Well, there are mazes in other parts of the world that would put our corn mazes to shame as far as a challenge to get where you need to get. And there is one just outside of London, and you go in and you pay your little fee to go into the maze, because it's a real challenge, isn't it, to go in there and say, I can figure this out. I can get there. Well, I'm going to tell you how hard this one is. When you go in, there's a space right in the middle of it, an open space where that everyone can actually make it to that space. And in this space, there is a bell. Did I ring anybody's bell just now? There's not just an open space, but there's a place to sit down, and there's a bell there. So that if you determine that you are lost and you've tried everything you know to get out of that maze, and you say, I just can't do it, you ring the bell. Now, when you ring the bell, a man will appear, and you may wonder, where in the world did he come from? But you don't care. You rang the bell. And the man showed up who knows the way of the maze. Now we're getting, I'm looking at your faces, and I know you're on the same wavelength with me right now. If you're here lost today, you're in the middle of the maze. You don't know your way out. And I want you to sit down, ring the bell, and sit down and wait for the man. And if you'll do that, I promise you that he'll be there and he'll take care of matters, because he said, I'm the way. I am your way out of this life and to glory. I am your way. So, admit you're lost. That's all you have to do is admit you're lost. Stop doing your own thing to get saved. Your own efforts aren't worth a dime. You can be in a maze and you can try as hard as you can, but if you can't get out, you simply can't get out. Trust the man, Jesus. Trust him, because he's your way out. I would say to you, ring the bell as soon as you can, because you need to hear from him. He's your way out. So in the first part of that, how can I be saved, or what must I do to be saved? He says, I am the way. Then he went on to say, because you got to know this also, I've never done anything in my life that I didn't want to make sure that what I was getting was really real. And I don't remember a whole lot when I got saved. I got saved at a young age at a church on the other side of Irwin, Tennessee. And I do remember it distinctly. But to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you that I was trying to make sure that what I was doing was right. What I did know, that from the very beginning in that church, I was taught as a small child, I was taught that Jesus loved me. Yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. I believe that. And that's why it's so important for parents to take their children to church, so that they can hear that gospel at an early age, and it can be there when the time comes that they see that they're accountable for their sin. They can give their heart and life to the Lord. They can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of their soul. Well, I never thought about being sure. I just knew that whatever my Sunday school teacher had taught me, whatever the preacher was preaching from the Word of God, it was right, and it was, and I could trust in that. Never thought about being sure, but all of us want to know: Can I be sure about this? Can I make sure that I'm making the right decision? Well, if you were to ask that question to the Lord here today and you says, how can I be saved or how can I be sure? He says to that, I am the truth. I'm not only the way, I am the truth. What does that have to do with you being sure? You got to know this. I don't ask questions, just fill in space. I don't have to fill in space, okay? Because y'all want me to preach shorter messages anyway. So I'm not filling in space here, okay? I'm saying to you, if you want to make sure, what would you want to know if you were, you'd want the truth, right? Yeah, well, I can believe the truth. Well, the Lord says, I'm not only the way, I am the truth. I'm not just a truth. Every one of us has a little truth in us, right? A little. Yeah. Well, and don't you love the truth when you know that what a person says, it's really real? Now, it's not like when we were growing up, Becky didn't like peas. I may have told you this before, but Becky didn't like peas. But we would tell her the truth. Peas are good for you. Peas are good for you. You need to eat your peas so you can grow up to be a beautiful young lady. And they're good for you. She didn't believe it. She did not believe that peas were good for her. And I can assure you that the way some of them came back to visit us, that it wasn't good for her. But we would tell her, this is the truth. Peas are good for you. But the Lord says, I am the truth. And I can assure you that you need this truth. Now, this is not just truth by word. This is truth by Him. He is. He not only taught the truth, He was and is the truth. You see, before Jesus came, there was about 5,000 years, actually, to be honest with you, where mankind tried to make his own way. Remember, we've been in studies in the Old Testament where man just wanted to make his own way. He wanted to decide how he was going to get to heaven. And so for 5,000 years, man became his own philosophy. And you just ask old Paul, he'll tell you, he visited places where that's how people lived their everyday life, was by philosophy. If they could just get a new truth as they knew it, then boy, they were tickled to death. Honey, I learned something new today. Got to share this with you because it'll make you feel good. You know those old books where you read them, and if you want to be happy with life and feel good, read this book. Well, it never did do it for anybody, but they keep writing the books. But there were 5,000 years where people had their own philosophies, their own religions, and they tried to make it. And then Jesus came. See, nobody ever said, I am the truth, and this is your way to go to heaven. But Jesus comes, and he says, I am the way, and I am the truth. How can you be sure? The only way you can be sure that you're going to heaven is know the truth. Yes. It's Him. You got to come to Him. You got to know Him. He didn't just teach it. He was that. Now, if your life is not centered in this truth that I'm talking about, and I'm talking about in Him, if it's not centered in that, you're wandering around in the maze of life, trying to work your way out. You keep thinking to yourself, I can do this. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. Because if Satan can keep you wandering around in this maze of life, looking for the real thing, the way, the truth, you see, there are so many people who think they have found it. And they haven't found Him yet. Oh, I hope and pray today is the day you find Him precious to your soul. It's all about Him. It is. So quit wandering in that maze, would you? Just accept this eternal, absolute truth that could only be Him. Then here is another thing. Now, I told you all these things are things that man wants, needs. So if I do accept this way of life, now I know you're not going about it like that, because if you see yourself a sinner and you're lost and you know this is the only way you can get to heaven, you're going to go toward it. But you might be thinking also, how can I be satisfied that this is the way? Will my life be a satisfied life? Well, they've written a lot of songs about it over the years, so it has to be something that people thought something about whether their life would be satisfied or not. How can I be satisfied? Well, if you're going to have a satisfied life, you've got to know that the life you have chosen is the life. You can't ever have a loose end dangling that there may be another one out there somewhere. This has to be it. So what did he say about the person who would say, is this the real life? He said, I am the life. I am the life. Not just the breath that you breathe. No. You see, life goes much farther than that. It's everything. Life is everything. Anything you could think about is all involved in life. Now, when you get that deep in it, and that's a scientific thing I just said, in case some of you scientists are wondering about all the little cells and the genes and everything about life, it's huge. We all know that. But I'm talking about the life, eternal life, that has nothing to do with the things. Some things will stay here. But remember, when you leave here and what you are as a body, and you are a body that possesses a spirit, you are not a spirit that possesses a body. You say, you've said that before, Dan. I'll say it again, too. You are a body that possesses a spirit. You are not a spirit that possesses a body. What does that mean? That means that you need something more than just life here on this earth. You need a life that will take you right on out of here and take you to glory. So how can I be satisfied with this life? He said, well, I am the life. I am your eternal life. I am your resurrection life. Now, that's opposed to death. If you say you have eternal life, then the opposite of that has to be death. And if you say I have resurrection life, the opposite of that is death also. So as opposed to death, you have eternal life and you have resurrection life. One day you'll live again. One day you're going to live forever and ever and ever. Here is what the Bible has to say about that. And this is a totally different message, but I got to read it to you right now, because this is where this comes from as far as your salvation is concerned. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth. And that word leadeth has T-H on the end of it, which means it will continue to lead, does not stop leading. So he says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. That's what we're just talking about. You want life? Then you're going to have to come by the way of the straight gate and the narrow way. You see, the world wants you to believe that, oh, just go and do what you want to do. The gate is wide enough for everybody to come on in, no matter what you believe or who you believe in. Don't believe it. It's a lie from hell. Amen. It is a lie from hell. He's the truth. If you want the truth about your life, then come where he wants you, because he says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that enter in. Are you one of those? My prayer is today that if you're lost, you'll ring the bell. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Let us pray. God's so good to us to give us this time to hear his word and know that there is a life, an eternal life, a resurrection life. And my prayer today is that you'll have the courage that can only be given you by the sweet Holy Spirit to walk out of your seat today and walk forward and meet me here at the front and say by that, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be saved today. I want to know that when I leave here, I'm ready to go. Lord, we thank you for the message. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us of how important it is that we be saved. Lord, that we ring the bell. When we see that our own efforts are not getting us anywhere, Lord, that we know that to come to the way, the truth, and the life is the only way. And we're going to praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. And we're going to sing a verse of this song. 161, if you'd like to turn to 161 and sing a verse of this song, please do so. And if you want to get saved, I'll start down, you start forward, and I'll meet you right here at the front, okay? Tenderly calls, but it is with such power. Such power. Well, God bless you. Now, the next time we see each other will be Wednesday at Rotary Park. Okay? Don't forget that. Be there at 4:30, and we'll have some good food and fun. No politics. Okay? Just a good time with the Lord. And I'm supposing that our good buddies from the Dawn of Hope will be there with us. Am I right, Carrie? Oh, okay. You think it'll be okay? Okay. We're gonna have a good time at the park, so please come and be a part of that, would you? Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Jonah, would you do that, please?